Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
That guy right over there is Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates, and wherever you are making us a part of your Wednesday morning, we appreciate you doing so, and we will take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio, and we will do so with a man making his triumphant return. We aren't even going to ask what sort of concocted excuse he's going to come up with why he wasn't here the previous 2 days. Ladies and gentlemen, the pride of Dublin, Ohio, my man and yours, Brady Quinn.
Is that because you're going to feel bad about trying to give me a hard time for going to support a Down Syndrome Foundation and playing at a charity event that was booked well in advance of us doing the show together? Is that why you just want to give me a hard time for going to Cincinnati, Ohio, going in, winning it, winning the scramble tournament, and coming back with a trophy, but you, instead of applauding it, you're going to give me a hard time about it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, of course you won. Was it on the up and up? All right. Did you?
Actually, I'll say this much. I've been a part of some scrambles, which, you know, if people don't know what a scramble is, first off, I can't really help you much. But essentially, you have four people. You play the best shot of the group. All right. And so lowest score wins. Which typically, when you got four people all hitting the best shot on every hole, you're going to do pretty well. We won it at minus 14, which isn't great, but there was rain. We got delayed for like an hour and a half. It was pretty crazy conditions. The course wasn't easy. It was as truthful of a group as I've been a part of for that sort of thing. Because I've been a part of some groups where, you know, you implement the power eye, you implement the dancing bear, all these different tactics in order to get yourself an advantage. And I could go on and on explaining what the power eye is. Essentially, if you've got a 10-foot putt, by the time the fourth person putts, it's a 1-foot tap-in. So, but again, I digress. All we did was go up there, win the whole damn thing, bring the trophy back so we can be back here, baby, on Outkick 6 to 9 this morning.
Yeah, well, listen, congratulations. I mean, I had no idea that you were winning a golf scramble. I didn't know that that was on the cards for you. But since that is the case, I mean, you know, apology accepted. I mean, we're all good here. I just want to make sure, as long as you won, and I don't care that you won on the up and up. If you had to cheat to get it done, that's fine, too. I mean, I'm okay with that, Brady Quinn. You know I'm not a judgmental person.
There's no pencil whipping here. Yeah. I'm sure that's a phrase that you're unfamiliar with, pencil whipping, for those who don't realize it. There's some people who go to these scramble events and they've already won. They haven't hit one golf shot and they've already won because they filled out their scorecard at minus 20. Yeah.
Yes, of course. That's the art of the scam that's pulled on golf courses across the country for many people out there. Now, we had ourselves, Brady Quinn, a phenomenal basketball game last night in the Western Conference Finals. You know, the two big stars, Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard, they're not in these games now for two different reasons. We're not exactly sure what the knee injury is for Kawhi Leonard, and we're not actually sure what the hell's going on with Chris Paul and the COVID story that's surrounding him, because it feels like the NBA is not really sure how to handle this one either, because you've got a player who's reportedly vaccinated, yet he still isn't cleared, and we're two games into the Western Conference Finals.
Which some people felt wasn't possible. You know what I think they're scared of? I think they're scared of like a John Rahm situation happening. Like he was, you know, on the path to win one tournament. You know, he gets COVID, takes some time off, comes back, wins a major. Maybe they're like, look, if we allow CP3 to come back, they're going to win it all. Like, we can't allow him to win it all. Maybe we need to give the LA Clippers a chance, provide a little bit more suspense, something. Let's keep him out. Let's see what happens. Suns are still up 2-0. By the way, one, it was a phenomenal game, as you talked about. But has anyone realized how dominant the Suns has been?
Oh, they're fantastic.
They haven't trailed the fourth quarter until last night. Games into it.
Best team in the postseason thus far, not even close. I don't even think it's close. Once they went down 2-1 to the Lakers, they've not lost since.
Yeah.
But they haven't trailed until
last night in the fourth quarter. Like, that just tells you how dominant they are. It's not like they've been trading leads and it was dramatic like last night. They have been dominant throughout the entire that 2-1 deficit they were in, or 1-2 deficit they were in. They've been dominant ever since. And plus, they're a ton of fun to watch, the way they play basketball.
And the atmosphere, the crowd, all that stuff. You know, when their fans aren't punching people and getting action figures made after themselves, you know, they're a pretty fun bunch to be around. You know,
Some people have said that maybe that's what spurred their dominance. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Have used that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, when you can beat up a couple of guys who don't know how to throw a punch while they're wearing a fake Rolex, I think that's always the move.
I'm not trying to spark, all right, any sort of,
fan violence,
mass fight. Yeah, okay. Or violence.
Yeah.
I'm just curious because that was a Denver fan, okay?
Yeah.
And clearly the Suns in four guy, he put that kid to shame. Like, it wasn't even close. It was as bad as the series was, okay? L.A. Clippers fans. How would they stand up to the Suns and four guy? I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, it depends on where we're at. I mean, what time at night? I mean, how many drinks in? You know, is this
I don't care. I think that guy, it doesn't matter. You could wake that guy up first thing in the morning, and I think he's still looking to break out a can of whoop, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I think with that guy, the strategy is you've got to let the fight go longer than the 15 seconds that it went on video, because it feels like he would be out of gas. Like,
are you basing that off of his physique? Is that what you're saying?
You know, I'm just saying, you know,
are
the,
you fat shaming him?
Listen, you know, when you wear a tank top jersey like that, you know, you don't leave a lot to be mysterious there. And then people can kind of figure out pretty quick what you're working with. And what I saw that he was working with wasn't, not that it was terrible, just wasn't the most impressive physique in the world. And that feels like a guy who probably doesn't have the greatest gas tank in the world. I'm just saying, you know, so if you wanted dodge and weave, you're bob and weave, you know, kind of, you know, dodge a couple of punches here or there. Next thing you know, the fight goes past 20 seconds and, you know, he's sucking wind and you can get it. You start teeing off a little bit. I feel like that's the move.
Is he the type of guy that, you know, the old saying when people, they walk up, hey man, two hits, me hit you, you hit the ground. That's how this is going to go. Is he that guy, you think?
By the way. No, really? I mean, well, I don't think he needs to be that guy anymore. I think he looks around now because he's getting, I mean, people are just, you know, giving him such praise for that fight that I don't think he needs to say anything anymore. He just walks around and you just assume everybody's going to know who he is and that he can throw down a little bit. The guy who drops the two hits, me hitting you, you hitting the floor, that's one of the great lines of all time. You got to admit that's a good one. That's solid.
That's probably in the repertoire of the Suns in four guy. But I digress. We should probably get back to the game at some point.
Yeah. Playoff P. All right. So we transition from Suns in four guy, a Chris Paul's mysterious COVID absence, whether or not Kawhi Leonard has an ACL, and we get all the way over to what I thought was dead in the water. I thought the playoff P jokes and the dismissal of Paul George as a good player in the NBA, I thought all that was gone. I thought it was over with. I thought it was done. And then Paul George proceeds to go to the foul line last night with an opportunity to give the Clippers at least a 2-point lead, if not a 3-point lead. He misses both free throws. And here we are again. All the jokes have started. The inbound pass from Jay Crowder to DeAndre Ayton. The dunk under a second left. The Clippers can't figure out a way to get a shot off from full court with 0.7 seconds left. And the Phoenix Suns have a 2-0 series lead. There's a lot of praise for DeAndre Ayton. Jay Crowder, the inbound pass, all of that is fun, but still the jokes have started because you're not even in that spot if Paul George can go to the line and hit both free throws.
That is correct. An advantage that, you know, I think, look at the personnel. Obviously the Suns had, they were able to play it to their advantage, but how about, by the way, the headiness of this, them understanding the rule that you can't have goaltending on an inbounds pass.
Yeah.
So you can literally basically shoot it at the rim. And there's no goaltending. I mean, Ayton, if he's going to outjump everyone because he's taller and probably more athletic and can reach the highest,
yeah,
he can go ahead and just grab it and throw it in. So well-designed play, well-designed inbounds in those circumstances.
It also doesn't make sense. I mean, the rule doesn't make sense. I mean, why is that? It's a little weird.
Is that kind of like a corner kick? I don't think you could score in a corner kick in soccer either. Can you?
It's got to be deflected in. You mean,
right. That's what I'm saying.
You're more of a soccer guy than I am. I'm more into football.
I'm just saying.
I'm more of an NFL guy. You're big into soccer. It's not really my thing.
Okay, I'm just saying. if you could be able to bend a soccer ball from a corner kick into the goal, that's pretty impressive. Like, I'd love to see that. It's no different where I feel like if a kicker in football can do a kickoff through the uprights, they should get a point or something. Like, that's pretty sexy. That's pretty hot.
Yeah. No,
and same thing in basketball. If you can figure out a way of making a basket when anyone can goaltend, anyone can knock the ball out or whatever, and you've got to shoot from behind a basket or somewhere else on the court that's not that close – it's pretty impressive. I'm just saying.
But goaltending is goaltending, isn't it? So, like, why would goaltending all of a sudden be waved off just because he's inbounding the ball? It's one of those things that I don't recall ever seeing it before, and now it's been on a big stage. And the more that I think about it, I go, why is that even allowed? Like, that's the part that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, credit
to
the Suns.
You're inbounding the ball. Technically, the ball is coming from out of bounds. It hasn't been established inbounds yet until technically it's touched. That is why.
Well, I mean, look, there's a lot of things.
This is a conversation that no one wants to hear.
Yeah,
the officiating, by the way, was awful. Like, earlier in the game, did you see the double technical that Jay Crowder and who was it? Marcus Morris?
There was a lot of questionable calls, and Scott Foster is the guy who many people are going after. But I will say, I'm going to defend Scott Foster later in the show, which is going
to
make me
give yourself a chance to do so. This was one in which where when you have two technical fouls offsetting, they're going to have a jump ball. They almost didn't even bring Marcus Morris over for the jump ball. I think at that point they were like confused at what had happened. But that's every game in the NBA. The officiating is atrocious. I don't understand why fans don't get more irate about the inconsistencies in the NBA versus the NFL. If the NFL misses one call, it's all people talk about for the entire season. It's all people talk about in the offseason. For the NBA, this stuff happens all the time, and these guys get away with it.
I have the answer to that, since you asked. I have the answer to that. All right, just between you and I, nobody's listening right now, okay? So, it's because not that many people watch the NBA. So maybe that's why they're not as outraged as maybe they should be, and a lot of people watch the NFL. So just
okay, that may be true.
Drop that little bomb in the lap of NBA fanboys here to just sit pretty on a weekday morning. How's that feel, folks? How's that feel for you?
That's fine. Hey, can you tell me this much though? I mean, Paul George still led the team in scoring.
He was good.
But how this game is going to be remembered if you're a Clippers fan, right?
100%. And the fact that and this is the problem. When you give yourself the nickname Playoff P, and then that stuff happens in the postseason, and then last year in the bubble, what happened with the Clippers and all of that went into their collapse against Denver, and then everybody started calling him, instead of Playoff P, they called him Pandemic P, which is funny, but it's like, I mean, you see that play out, and he was on such a hot streak too. I mean, Paul George has been fantastic. The last four or five games, he's been awesome. But you had an opportunity with no Kawhi to steal one on the road if you just hit a couple of free throws, and he didn't even get one, and then they end up losing on an inbound pass like that. And public enemy number one for the Clippers right now, because they want to make a mockery of it, is quote unquote Playoff P. And I feel bad for the guy. I legitimately feel bad for him, and maybe they can bounce back.
After the first free throw, which he looked a little nervous, but it was a good shot. I mean, it just did end up not going in.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like the next one was going to be a brick. It ended up being off the back rim, hard, strong, whatever.
He didn't even chase it. He didn't even try and make an effort to grab the ball. Campaign, who's like 5'4", ended up getting the rebound, and that's how Phoenix got an opportunity. Paul George missed it, and just the air left his body after he missed the second one.
That's honestly, I think, how it kind of feels, when you're in that situation. Here's what I learned, though, from the segment, okay? Don't give yourself a self-proclaimed nickname. Just don't do it. Don't give yourself a nickname, okay?
Agree.
Don't do it, because then when these instances happen, now you're not going to be made fun of or be put to shame. But that's what happens when you give yourself a nickname like Paul George has.
Well, listen, it's why we don't call ourselves Weekday Quawks. Because if we start calling ourselves Weekday Quawks, we're going to end up back on Sunday nights permanently. I mean, so we've got to be careful here, Brady Quinn.
Thank God you just didn't say that on the live air.
I want to say that's why, we want to make sure that we're not giving ourselves nicknames, because bad things are going to happen. You're not giving yourselves Mr. Scramble nicknames before you win a golf scramble this past couple of days. And look what happened. You won a golf scramble because of it. So, lesson learned. And Paul George learned his lesson, and now he goes back to LA trying to save the season, because if they go down 3-0 to the Phoenix Suns with Chris Paul returning and most likely no Kawhi Leonard, that is a wrap. You can go ahead and close the coffin on the LA Clippers season if that's the case. Just saying, you know, gut feeling here.
I mean, this is coming from a guy who picked him to win it all, right?
Well, I mean, I am just a bracket guy. Yeah, I mean, I am a bracket guy. I don't know if you know that or not. I am in the Fox Sports Radio bracket, the playoff bracket.
And I'm near the top.
I'm a top four guy right now in the playoff bracket challenge. So, listen, not to brag.
That's about your ceiling, though, right? Like, in your life, that's probably as high as it gets for you.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, I'll get to a Final Four, I'll never get to a championship in anything. Yeah. I'll never win anything. I'll never have anything go my way. It's just the way of the world. So you just have to accept that I'm going to be one of those guys who's going to walk around without a ring for the rest of his life. No championships.
Hey, buddy, that's why we make such good teammates, you know?
Yeah,
you and I just not winning jack crap.
Well, listen, look, we will have Headliner Live coming up tomorrow. Maybe you can finally get in the winner's circle in that game.
Have I not won the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, just, you know, nobody's listening.
Did I win Sunday too?
Of course you did. Oh, okay. You know, it's a big scam. Coming up next, though, we had somebody in the NFL get absolutely disrespected, dissed. You talk about a burn. We will get into all of that next here. Outkick the Coverage. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Well, you have tattoos. Kittle has tattoos. I don't know that Greg has. We haven't showered together in a long time. We haven't been shower buddies for a while. So.
All right.
That was a quick turnaround. I mean, look, I played in the NFL for 8 years, played in college for all four. I mean, you shower with a lot of dudes. I'm saying, man.
Yeah. Well, this is the best part of the song right here. Just listen. You ready for this?
Okay.
Blame it on the shower. Is this a little Milli Vanilli?
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, a little Milli Vanilli here.
Who's actually singing the song?
Who knows? I think Jussie Smollett, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's I'm just saying, you know, like, if
are you pronouncing that right? Are you saying Jussie?
I don't know. I don't even know he pronounces it right, to be honest with you. I just think, you know, we need to pay a little bit more respect to Milli Vanilli, because they were pulling scams before, way before a lot of people were. And let me tell you something, man. There are a couple Milli Vanilli songs that are fantastic. I don't know who wrote them or who actually sang them, whether they were just like human ventriloquists or whatever, and somebody had their hands in their back making their mouths move. But whoever wrote those songs, phenomenal job, because those are classics. Those are hits. Go-tos. Especially when you're working out. All right. We will get to this story in the world of sports. Things are changing. Top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now. That's here on FSR. The clown show in the world of sports that is the sticky situation and substance control in Major League Baseball has reached epic proportions. Because you have had, all right, so the past couple of days, for people that are not familiar with this, because they've been watching whatever the hell they've been watching, managers can now ask the opposing pitcher to be checked by the umpires when it comes to if they feel like there maybe is some sticky stuff, like the spider tact or some of that stuff still being used. They can now ask the umpire to go check on the pitchers. So a couple of nights ago, you had some guys getting checked. Jacob DeGrom got checked. Yu Darvish got checked in the Padres-Dodgers game. Urias, the starting pitcher for the Dodgers, he got checked, I think, a couple of times. And it was fine. I mean, everybody, you know, maybe looked a little bit annoyed, but it was okay. They understood this is part of the deal. Nothing to see here. Everybody walked in and we were all good. And then last night happened and you had players disrobing, like Sergio Romo, who was walking off the mound for the A's and basically almost took his entire outfit off. Like, here, look, check me all you want. Max Scherzer and Joe Girardi got into it because Girardi asked them to check Max Scherzer like three different times. So you had Dave Martinez, the manager for the Nationals.
Scherzer almost took his pants off.
Yes.
I mean, let's be real.
and
guys are starting to strip down now.
And Girardi's saying afterwards, I've been watching Max Scherzer for a long time. I have haven't seen him rub his hair that many times in a game. And I think even Max Scherzer said afterwards, he was like, look, it wasn't a hot night out there. I'm trying to get any sort of moisture on my hands. It doesn't he's cheating. Like when you lick your fingers before you throw a football, is it cheating?
No, it never has been, never will be. Now, the difference is your opponent, all right, you're trying to complete passes to your players. And so really what you're looking to do when you're licking your fingers is get any sort of moisture for tackiness on the football so you can be more accurate. That's essentially what pitchers are doing, right?
Yes.
They're trying to find tackiness some way, especially considering the conditions. On any given night in any given ballpark, if it's dry out, you need some tackiness. Otherwise, you're not going to have as good a control. If you want to make it about spin rate and the advantage that gives you, I feel like we could go throughout decades of baseball, and granted, we're not going to have the data and research, but you could probably look through and say the way they manufacture the baseballs has as much, if not more, to do with what's happening in these games and what's happening when the ball comes off the bat than pitchers using any substance for control or movement or spin. And that's the problem, is Major League Baseball has literally dug themselves a hole, and they continually dig deeper and deeper and deeper.
It's so funny.
And I don't think they realize there's no end in sight. You're going to have a pitcher who disrobes down to a jock strap just to prove a point. Hell, he might even walk out to the mound in a jock strap. He might come right out of the shower
and walk
right in and say, here you go. I've got my glove, a baseball, my cap, and my jock strap. You tell me, what am I using as a substance right now, okay?
And also, I've heard you talk about this before. In football, you kind of want a ball that's a little bit used, right? A little bit broken in and worn in,
right?
Because it's easier to handle.
There's a film that comes on the balls. You've literally got to brush off this redness, this film that makes it slick. You need to get to the other part of the leather that makes it tacky and you're able to grip it.
In baseball, how many different balls are they using during games? So it's not like they've got time to work in every single baseball. So the fact that a pitcher wants to use some rosin and some sweat, or wants to use, you know, maybe a little bit of a suntan lotion to try and get a better grip. Look, guys have talked about it, and Scherzer alluded to it afterwards. He's like, man, I'm trying to get a grip on the baseball so I'm not hitting anybody. I'm trying to make sure for the safety of those batters that I have a little bit of something here. This whole thing is a joke. It's turned into a complete clown show. And I got to be honest with you, I'm all for it. I think it's fantastic. I hope it continues, because Major League Baseball made the decision to want to make this big change during the course of the season, as opposed to waiting till afterwards when they exactly what they should have done. And this is what you get. You wanted it. You got it. You got your clown show. Welcome to the circus, everybody.
And I'm not really sure how they go about, you know, putting the toothpaste back in the bottle at this point, right?
You can't.
In the tube. I mean, you really can't. You have to wait until the offseason. You're going to have to readdress it then. But this is something that's going to plague them the entire rest of the season into the postseason. And it's going to be the case.
It's Outkick the Coverage here at Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, and you, Hour 2 next.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Coming up in, we'll call it a little over 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we had a streak, a major streak, a controversial streak in the world of sports that was broken last night. We will get into all of that coming up here again a little over 10 minutes from now, later on this hour here on Fox Sports Radio. Right now, she is always kind enough to join us here on FSR. She is one of our favorites, Shannon Spake of Fox Sports, covers NASCAR, has covered college football, college basketball. You name it, a Jill of all trades, as they say. Shannon, what's happening? How are you on this Wednesday?
Good morning, guys. Doing well. Got to sleep in a little bit this morning. Not the 6:20 spot, but feeling good, yeah.
Well, I got to ask you this, and I don't mean to start a controversy here on the show, but I was watching Race Hub. Okay, now I do a show, an afternoon show slash evening show on Fox Sports Radio, straight out of Vegas, and so I always have Race Hub on my television while we're doing the show. And I noticed that after yesterday's edition of Race Hub, a movie came on, and that movie was Hoosiers. And I knew that we were going to be talking with you today, and it got me thinking about something that I feel like something gets disrespected, and you obviously covering NASCAR maybe can speak on this. But when we talk about great sports movies of all time, how the hell does Days of Thunder not venture into the conversation? All right, I take personal offense to that because I think it's one of the most underrated movies ever. Days of Thunder. Everyone talks Hoosiers. It was on Fox Sports 1 yesterday, but Days of Thunder never, ever gets brought up in the conversation of great sports movies of all time.
Well, you're talking to the wrong people then, because, I mean, I would say absolutely Days of Thunder is in that move. I mean, if you didn't learn about drafting with the the sweet and low package on Nicole Kidman's leg. I don't know where are you living. I mean, the best part about that movie was that, like, he looked like he got out of a coal mine every time he jumped out of that car and took off that face mask or the goggles that he wore. But my goodness, we quote that all the time. Four perfectly matched pair of tires. If rubbing is racing, slow is fast, fast is slow. I mean, it's one of the greatest movies ever, for sure. I'm glad that you are paying due respect to Days of Thunder. I actually saw Tom Cruise in the garage, like in the garage area. He was a guest of Rick Hendricks. And I always say, do you know the movie Austin Powers where they say, not Madonna, not Madonna, not Madonna, Madonna, not Madonna. Like, you know where their space is sort of taking up. That's how it was with Tom Cruise. Like, you were like, there he is. And you couldn't help but maybe just, follow him for a little bit, just watch him walk. It was really cool.
Okay, did he look like a NASCAR driver, though? I mean, how tall is Tom Cruise? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Not very tall, but okay. It's still Tom Cruise. His space, he takes up a lot of space. I've done a game at Hinkle Fieldhouse, by the way, and got to meet Bobby Plump and that whole crew, and got to do a sit-down interview with Bobby Plump, and it was really, really cool.
Gosh, I love Hoosiers, but I also love Days of Thunder. I haven't seen it in a while. That was a great cast, though, because it was, Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, Robert Duvall, I think, was in that. Quaid.
Yeah, it was the Quaid brother that's kind of lost his mind a little bit. I screw up.
Well,
he
was good back then,
Dennis.
Though.
Yeah.
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 It was great. It was a great movie. There are a lot of great movies, and I would definitely say that's right up there with them. Rudy, obviously, I heard you guys talking about it. I guess you're not a big fan, Jonas, of Rudy.
It's just listen, it's fake. Like, here's my problem.
I mean, it's technically not fake. It is maybe a bit exaggerated.
Yeah, Joe Montana was in an interview with the Dan Patrick Show, which you can hear on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. Joe Montana, a couple of years back, laughed because he was a member of that Notre Dame team because he said, we carried him off our shoulders, but it was more like a joke than anything else. Like, nobody really thought anything of it. And the whole scene where the guys at Notre Dame lay their jerseys down because they want Rudy to take their spot never happened.
It's a movie, dude. I mean, come on. It's a movie. Relax. Right. Now, there are some things. I mean, when you talk to Rudy about it, he would tell you that it would have been like a six-hour film because he went and served. Like, do you remember how his brother came in and sniped his girl? Do you remember that whole deal?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I that was my first question to Rudy. All right. When I first met Rudy, I said, hold on. We got to talk about this for a second.
Like Rudy or the guy who played Rudy in
Sean Austin? No, actual Rudy, actual Rudiger. Yeah,
he's like sat down. Austin.
No, it was actually Rudy, and I said, "Dude, you just let your brother snipe your girl like that?" And he goes, "Well, I actually went and served in the military, and then came back, and so not a lot of people know about that. And when I was gone, obviously I figured she'd probably move on. No one better than my brother." I was like, oh, all right. That was actually a good explanation. Yeah. So then he started to talk about the whole journey. It actually is a great story. The problem is you don't have enough time to really go through all of it. And so they had to exaggerate some spots. Like the chanting of Rudy, I don't know that ever actually took place, but he used to box in a thing called Bangle Bouts. And they used to chant his name when he used to box in that. It's like a big, big boxing tournament that, Jonas, you'd probably be a big fan of. But that's what they used to do back in the day. And they still do it to this day. But they used to chant his name. That's where the kind of chant thing came from. I don't know that anyone in Notre Dame Stadium ever actually did it. But, again, I digress. We're just getting off on a complete tangent here. Yeah. With movies this morning.
And about Hoosiers, right? I mean, I heard there was, like, no shot clock. So that whole, like, dramatic ending to the movie, like, it really took, like, 40 minutes. So, just saying. Hate to burst that bubble for you too this early in the morning. But Talladega Nights too. I mean, you got to put that up there. I mean, who doesn't say shake and bake on a regular basis? And that movie was incredible as well. As much of a spoof as it was incredible.
Shannon Spake joining us here on Fox Sports Radio of Fox Sports. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, Outkick the coverage here on FSR. So, Shannon, I want to ask you, I don't know why Brady wanted to start talking about movies here. I mean, I want to do a professional interview, and he's taking us off on a tangent here. It's just ridiculous what this guy does. But when it comes to where we're at with, collegiate athletes potentially getting paid, what name, image, and likeness is something that we've talked about a bunch that Brady has broken down beautifully here. Just some of the pitfalls that could fall in place, some of the dangers of this stuff happening. You've obviously spent a lot of time around college sports. You've seen high-level college sports. If you could fix the current model, if you could do something to make this fair for everybody involved, what would you do if they came to you and said, what is the best idea to try and fix where we're at with the NCAA and collegiate athletes and potentially, some sort of financial gain from, them being, featured in all these big sporting events and et cetera, what would you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a slippery slope because once you open the floodgates, I feel like something absolutely needs to change because, like, kids not being able to wash their cars with water that comes from the school or eat something that's considered, like, I remember one time I was at Alabama and they couldn't put, like, jelly in something because it was considered, it was against their regulations. And I feel like some of those things are absolutely ridiculous. And I think that, Brady, I did hear your argument on it. And I think that we all agree that some of those things are just ridiculous, right? It's common sense. But at the same time, how do you not open those floodgates and allow just so much to take place? I mean, maybe it's some kind of fund for the kids when they get out of school based on how long they're in school, because I've seen so many cases of young athletes who have nothing at home, right? I mean, there's a lot of athletes that come from good families. If this doesn't work, if they get hurt, if any of these things happen, they still have things that they can fall back on. But there are way too many examples of kids who this is it. This is their shot. And if they get hurt or if something happens to them while they're playing college ball and they don't have what's coming up next, that big payday in the NFL or in the NBA or whatever it may be, I do think that we need to protect those kids as well because they are putting their bodies on the line for, let's face it, a big business who everybody's making money off of them. And so maybe it's a fund for them when they get out, a fund for their family if something were to happen. Maybe it's something like that because I do think you risk paying these kids and then, like I said, the floodgates just open. But there has to be something. I think that we can all agree on that because the current model is just – it's benefiting one person or one entity, and right. That's the colleges and that's the coaches and that's the NCAA. What about the kids that are putting their bodies on the line and playing?
Right. No, and let's be real. The TV contracts have a little something to do with it, too. They're getting a lot of compensation from that, and rightfully so, whether it's the university's student-athletes. It's a product that people want to watch, and then they're obviously willing to pay for. We know the model's changing with broadcast, cable television, and digital and all that, but the reality is it's must-see TV, and that's why they're able to generate so much revenue. I like the idea of a fund. Post-career, because I mm-hmm. do think it's interesting, like you as a mom, because one of the things that I think gets lost in all this is like the education, portion of it. Like I've talked to people I work with who they don't believe in today's education system. And I think it's because they're taking for granted the fact that they're getting it for free as a student athlete. And it probably doesn't help either that, not to get on a political tangent, but you've got all these people who some have paid for their education and now you're gotten people talking about giving free education. It's like, well, hold on a second. I'd love to know how the professors feel about just giving away education for free. Maybe they're okay with that. Maybe they're not. I would imagine they'll get paid less for it unless it's subsidized. But the reality is this, is at some point, too, a lot of these athletes aren't going to go pro and have the career they think they're going to have. The average career span in the NFL is 3 years, maybe less than that.
Yep.
I mean, I would imagine as a mom, like, wouldn't you be saying to your kids, as great as it is to be able to profit off all this stuff, and maybe if they're, you know, able to get scholarships to be pulled a certain direction, and there's still got to be an emphasis on the degree and what they're going to do after their sports days are over, right?
Yeah, I mean, and no question. And honestly, Brady, like, I covered those Kentucky kids, right? And the Kentucky kids that were one and done. And honestly, like, some of them did come back and finish their education, even though they were playing in the NBA. They'd come back if they were, you know, rehabbing or during, you know, the off season, and they would come back and they would still get their degree. I found that to be, like, I was surprised to hear some of those stories that they did come back, because, like you said, not everyone's an Anthony Davis, right? Not everyone is going to go and make these huge contracts. Some of them obviously have to go play overseas, so yes, I 100% I understand the argument that they're getting the education and they get the free room and board, and that's hundreds of thousands of dollars. I totally get that. I'm not arguing against that, but I do think that these kids need to be protected somehow in case they do get injured while they're doing something that's making people a lot of money.
Shannon Spake, the great Shannon Spake, that is, of Fox Sports. We always appreciate you popping on with us here. And thank you for agreeing with the Days of Thunder take, because I felt like that was an important thing I had to get off my chest. It doesn't get the respect it deserves.
Thank you, Jonas, for bringing that up.
I mean, listen.
that was the important part.
Right. I mean, it's the least I could do to provide a little bit of clarity on the what is a great sports movie conversation that many people have had for a long, long time. So I feel like we got something done there, Shannon.
Yeah. And by the way, I made a cake last night, so I think I'm going to try to get into culinary school. Do you think they'll let me in to culinary school like Kim is trying to get into the tight end camp just because I made a cake last night?
I think the barriers to entry are a little different for that. You should be okay. She should be all right. Yeah.
She may make it happen. All right, Shannon, we appreciate it. Let's do it again next week. Thanks so much, as always.
Thanks, Shannon.
Of course, guys. Take care.
She's one of the best. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn here on Fox Sports Radio. It's Outkick, the coverage here on FSR. By the way, a streak was broken in the world of sports. It's a major one. We will get into that next here on FSR.
This is Outkick, the coverage.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to thee the man himself, Brady Quinn.
Jonas, what a great game last night. That doesn't mean it wasn't marred with any sort of controversy, but
yeah.
The Suns, the Clippers went down to literally the final second of the game. DeAndre Ayton with I guess you call it a fantastic play. I'm not sure what was better. Was it the pass by Crowder or the play by Ayton?
Oh, the pass. I mean, especially where he was on the court, because he had to basically get it over the backboard.
It was like you're playing horse. You know, when you go out there and you make up different trick shots, it was almost like Crowder had to play horse and able to get that ball to Ayton. But nonetheless, what a finish. What a finish.
Yeah, and the Phoenix Suns have a 2-0 series lead over the LA Clippers. The Clippers got to feel like they let that one get away. No Kawhi Leonard. Paul George misses a couple of free throws. And so the Clippers, a fantastic basketball game, end up losing that one last night.
Can we do one thing? Can we get a feel for just the LA basketball fan base? I know the Lakers have been out for a little while now. Obviously, the Suns just went ahead and, you know, pushed them on their way. But the LA basketball fan base, can we get a feel from the fellas who happen to be in LA, maybe getting a sense for the feel for Clippers fans? Because they've been here before. They've been down 0-2. Tyronn Lue, he said, hey, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. I'm just curious if we can get a sense or the pulse of what's happening there out in L.A. right now.
Well, I mean, listen, Danny G is with us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's actually wearing a Chris Paul Clippers jersey right now, from my understanding. So, Danny G, I mean, what is the feeling there, you know, in Los Angeles right now? I mean, you representing Clipper Nation. I mean, how are we feeling about things?
I think that diehard Laker fans are cheering on the Phoenix Suns during the game last night. Yeah, I was texting with a friend of mine in Phoenix who is a huge Suns fan. And Vic the Brick, the legendary Vic the Brick from the Blowtorch AM 570 LA Sports, it was interesting to hear him talk about this a couple of days ago, right after you got done on your show with Rogan. He was with Petros and Money, and they were kind of blitzing him because he sounded like a Lakers fan that was not rooting for the Clippers. Petros was like, well, wait a second, Vic. It is another L.A. team. Aren't you going to root for them a little bit? And he was like, yeah, for Ty Lue, yeah. For the rest of the team, no. He's like, I'll support Ty Lue. But he was stuttering, and they kind of caught him off guard, and he sounded like a big-time Clippers hater. He didn't mean to, but they kept playing a clip back of him stuttering, sounding like a Clippers hater. And look, I think what bothers a lot of Laker fans are some of the – you know, the newfound Clipper fans that have come around. Ben Maller here from Fox Sports Radio. He's been a longtime Clippers fan. I will give him that. But the one thing that has always bothered us.
This is great.
Here's the one thing that's always bothered us. Whenever a former Clipper, whenever a Clipper leaves the team, like let's go back to Blake Griffin from Lob City. Ben was all over. He was juggling Griffin's nuts when he was a Clipper.
Jesus.
As soon as it's a fact, he was every week. I mean, Blake Griffin was just the best
juggling.
Thing. I mean, yes.
Juggling,
like okay. Literally
juggling
them on the air. Okay, but as soon as Griffin was not a Clipper. Oh, what a bum. What a bum. He's a straight-up bum. Same thing for Chris Paul.
DeMarcus Cousins was a bum when he signed with the Lakers, and Rondo's past his prime.
Yeah, huge bum.
Now those guys are great because they're with the Clippers.
When they're on the Clippers, they are amazing players. As soon as they leave the Clippers, they are huge bums. They're the reason why the Clippers haven't won anything.
Okay.
And so
Hold on. Yeah. Can we just point out one thing you said, though?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to dispute whether the Clippers might have some fans who are coming out of the woodwork. But are you really telling me, are you really trying to tell me that the Lakers don't have some of that as well? I mean, there's so many fan bases that I think, especially if like Miami, I see this all the time with the Heat. When LeBron was there, there's that famous video of the fans who left the game early when they were down. They ended up coming back and winning, but they locked the doors and they locked them all out from re-entering. thankfully, every fan base has those. Okay, they're good now. Let's come out of the woodwork to support our band. Are you trying to tell me the Lakers don't have that?
They have
so many phony actors and actresses in Hollywood that come out to a Lakers game supporting them. Are you trying to tell me that?
No, there's a phony element associated with every fan base. I'll give you that. But for whatever reason, it just stinks extra with the Clippers. And look, because Brady, when the Lakers had to mortgage their young players to line everything up to get AD, there was part of the fan base that was like, oh man, I hope Randall doesn't go on to do great things. I hope X player and this player and this player we draft, Ball and other players that the Lakers took high up in the draft. And even now, there are some Laker fans that still don't like LeBron to the point where they're like, I can't believe we gave away all those players just to get one trophy. Even now. So, yeah, you're right about that. But Clipper fans are just annoying for some reason. They always have – the couple that
like,
I know –
they're like flies. They're just annoying.
The couple that I know, they spend more time talking about the Lakers than they do their own team, the Clippers.
And that's about a jealousy. Yeah. Yeah, not a good look. there's a thin line between love and hate, though, fellas. So, by the way, that ends our discussion now at this hour of the Lakers fan base, the pulse there in Los Angeles, California.
You do like Ty Lue, though. I am happy for him personally.
Well, I mean, look, at least at least we can find something to be happy about when it comes to the LA Clippers, according to Laker fans. I think we are on to the right path here when it comes to trying to mend the fence between the two. Now the Lakers just want them out of their arena. That's the next step.
Well, it's not really the Lakers arena.
It's the Kings arena.
Yeah, that's very good.
We won't go there either.
Yes. Here I got a couple. I've got several curious questions when it comes to it. I want to get to a couple because there's a major one I want to get to next segment, which is going to be a whole other conversation.
Yeah. Gosh, you and I are going to be a big conversation.
And I are going to be on an island alone for that conversation.
Oh, is that coming up next? Okay.
Yeah. So that'll be next segment. All right.
Yeah,
so here's here is the I'm about to say something, but I won't. Here is Brooks was here. Here is the thing. What the hell's happening with Chris Paul and the COVID restriction, violation, protocol, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Can we get a damn straight answer? Does the guy have COVID or does he not have COVID? All right. Why was he not available for game one and not available for game two, but now he's projected to be available for game three? Like, the NBA can't give us a clear answer. And right. then you're hearing Chris Paul say, well, I was vaccinated. Well, if he's vaccinated, why is it taking this long, man? Like, something about this stinks. I don't understand it, and I can't get a clear answer. There's that. And also, does Kawhi Leonard have a torn ACL or not? Can I get some damn clarity from somebody, Brady Quinn?
Well, first off, I don't know that we're going to get any clarity on Kawhi Leonard's situation, because I feel like even if you go back to his time in San Antonio, there was a lot of people who weren't sure what the hell was happening then. So he'll be a little more tight-lipped about it. I think what's interesting about CP3, and from everything that's been reported, he was vaccinated. However, he's gone into the COVID-19 protocol. And so he must have been displaying some sort of symptoms, right? He must be, if he does have COVID-19, he must be having some sort of sickness, some sort of complications with it. That's really the only thing I could think of.
But it was reported that he wasn't.
But here's what bothers me about it. And even if he wasn't, here's what bothers me about it. Is back when this all first started, right, we threw out HIPAA. Any sort of HIPAA laws and everything else and people's personal privacy in regards to their health, we threw it out the window. Because at the first moment or chance we got, whether it was in any professional sport, the NFL, NBA, what have you, we would be reporting about someone who tested positive for COVID, right? And look, and I get it, because obviously fan bases and gambling and fantasy, and that's the reporter's job. But the reality is we threw out any sort of privacy regarding HIPAA laws and being able to explain like what's going on with someone's health. We just threw it out the window when COVID first came around. And now we're to a point where we know how to treat it better. We have vaccinations for it. Yet we're now treating it with more secrecy than ever before, at least in this regard, as far as how they're handling it with CP3. That's what bugs me about it, is I don't understand where the first inkling that someone has COVID, people are rushing to put it on Twitter, they're rushing to report it, even though it's not any of their damn business.
Yes. Agreed.
And yet now in this case, we can't get any clarification as to when he'll be back, what his current status is, how he's doing. So it's just, we've taken a complete 180 on this whole subject, at least in this regard, in regards to CP3. And we're talking about the Western Conference Finals. I mean, I know they're up 2-0 right now, but he's still a significant piece to all of this. And technically, you know, your big comment about Scott Foster, the official who, up until last night, you know, Chris Paul teams were winless against, I'm not so sure the streak is actually broken, because Chris Paul wasn't able to be out there with his teammates playing in that game. So I do think there's an asterisk next to whatever streak you want to say is broken, because unless Chris Paul's out there on the court and maybe he triggers Scott Foster to, you know, make some bad calls or maybe be a little bit more one-sided to the other team, I'm not even sure that streak's been broken.
It bothers me, because this is a league that's all about transparency. You know, we want to be honest and upfront about everything. And look, a lot of
hold on. Major League Baseball has already jumped ahead of them. All right, they've got players who are disrobing. You want to see transparency? Their players are getting naked out there in the middle of the field just to show that they don't have any tacky stuff.
Yes,
I think the Major League Baseball actually holds the title right now of transparency. Given how they're handling this.
That is a good point. When you've got Max Scherzer and Sergio Romo basically showing you their cash and prizes to let everybody know there's no sticky stuff here, you got to work a little bit for that later after hours. And when you got that happening, I mean, that is a fair point. I stand corrected when it comes to transparency in the world of sports. But here's the NBA has tried to make it seem like, well, you know, we want everything to be on the up and up. And a lot of this is, and people could say, well, why are you bringing up old stuff? Okay. The Tim Donaghy scandal, I still don't think got the proper coverage it deserved, because there was a podcast done, and I forget the name of the guy who came up with the podcast, but I heard
this
an
was recent,
with
right?
him. Yeah, it was recently done, and the guy said part of that Tim Donaghy discussion was the fact that the NBA wanted to keep it hush hush. They knew about it, but they were on the verge of signing that massive TV contract, and they didn't want any sort of stink around that massive TV contract getting done. So they kind of pushed it to the side. And then when the contract got announced and afterwards, it was like, oh, God, yeah. I mean, yeah, we'll take care of all that. Don't worry. Because they knew how bad that looked. They have made a concerted effort to try and let everybody know everything's on the up and up. Don't worry about us. We're trying to be upfront with everything. You can trust us. Our officials aren't dirty, even though people can clearly point to examples, whether it's Scott Foster and others, when they go, well, why is this call made but that one's not? There's a lot of common threads here and a lot of relationships that Donahue might have had with some of these officials that never really got looked into. They didn't do a deep enough dive on it. And there's a lot of people that look at the NBA with a side eye when it comes to stuff like that, Scott Foster being one of them. But then when you got this league that comes out and says, oh, we're transparent about everything, yet we can't get a clear answer as to why LeBron James wasn't fined for some crappy tequila opening he was at, but Kristaps Porzingis was fined $50,000.
Well, no, I can tell you. It's because everyone at that party that LeBron went to was vaccinated. Or at least that was the explanation we got.
Oh, you're right.
And apparently people who are vaccinated can't get COVID-19.
No,
Chris Paul did. That's what we're talking about right now.
Yeah,
okay.
No, of course.
It's all hypocritical. But it's all the hypocrisy of the NBA. And we know exactly why he didn't get punished and others did. It's because he's LeBron James. He's the face of the league.
The whole thing is just a joke. But if you criticize the NBA, you got these fanboys that disguise themselves as media members, which all they do is fanboy it up for the NBA because they want to protect the product, because they realize there's a pecking order when it comes to sports media. It's the NFL, and then it's everything else. And they're trying to fight for relevancy right now because they realize we've now been passed by college football, and when stuff like this happens that doesn't make sense, people don't trust what they're watching, and I just can't figure out why we cannot get a clear answer as to why Chris Paul still isn't available 2 games into the Western Conference Finals. I don't understand it. I also don't understand why the Clippers were made to turn around and play the Western Conference Finals 2 days later, yet we still haven't had game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Who the hell is making the schedule? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I think it's because the Suns could have went on a short vacation after their sweep and obviously waiting for the Clippers to finally make their appearance into the Western Conference Finals. But by the way, it's football and everything else. Like, I think college football now is so clearly surpassed the NBA that it's not even close. I mean, when you look at the regular season games for college football, easily outrate playoff games for the NBA – that's not a good look for your product. And unfortunately, like, I would actually say that you're in the same, you know, the NHL, obviously the Stanley Cup playoffs are going on right now. Playoff hockey is such a better product, and I know we don't talk about it much, but that's because most of the listeners don't want to listen to hockey. But still, it's a better product than what the NBA has. Like, last night's game was fantastic. It was a great finish. By and large, though, playoff hockey is more fun to watch, more fun to be there in person than NBA playoff basketball. I know that's an unpopular opinion, maybe, but I think actually the tide's turning on that.
Yeah. By the way, I stand corrected. Bree, a longtime listener, supporter of our show, Brady Quinn. She also worked. It was an intern at Fox Sports Radio and a loyal supporter and a really good gal. She tweets in and says the name of that podcast was Whistleblower, and that is correct, where they broke down the Tim Donahue involvement and what it meant to the NBA big picture. So
isn't that just being a big rat then? Technically, is that what that podcast is about?
The problem is
maybe they didn't have someone from Arizona State with their college football investigation going on.
The problem is when you try and put all the blame on one guy, he's backed into a corner. He's going to come out swinging, and he wanted to expose some people for what was happening, and that's the way it had to be. All right, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, Brady and I are in the minority on something. People are outraged, and they're trying to use this to apply to all sports because something happened that drew a lot of people crazy and got them all worked up. And during a game, talking about big picture stuff, we'll have the latest on that for you next here on FSR.